You sound really normal.
That's what, cool. That's what I love to hear from my friends.
You sound really cool and normal to me. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
How's everyone doing this week?
Ooh, spooky.
Ooh, spooky season. Am I the only one who has some candles going here?
Yeah.
Only me. I've got three. One for each of us.
One for each of us. That's nice. That's
really nice. The pause after I said that, like, yeah, okay. Congrats, bitch.
You should have reminded the rest of us that it's spooky season and we should have had some mood lighting in here. But
we were talking about horror movies all day, so I guess I kind of...
Allie, if you think I can make the logical leap from that.
It wouldn't have helped me anyways because I moved and I did this thing where I kept being like, well, I don't want to move these things, so I'll just stop restocking them and burn what I have. So I actually have like... two candles and neither of them are like one is a Christmas candle.
It's really not appropriate to be living a candle free lifestyle.
I know. I really gotta opinion. I really gotta do a
candle girl.
I know. I am a candle girl.
Candles.
And we're gotta, like, it's October 26th. We are deep into spooky cozy. Season.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
We've just got a few days left before we're out of spooky season and into Thanksgiving.
Holiday season.
Well, holiday season. You need candles where I thrive.
That's what Leah says. Well, I don't have candles because I haven't been thriving. Last week you said you had been thriving because you hadn't seen the Young Bucks recently. So what is the truth? Well, speaking of spooky season, we'll let our listeners know up front. We are going to be playing a little Halloween game today. So it'll be our episode as normal, and we'll go through the various storylines, giving you the insights you love. But then, at the end of each section, we will be pausing to just figure out which of our beloved wrestlers are serving as which horror movie archetypes, and if we find it in ourselves, the strength, we also may say what kind of horror movie we'd like to see them in. So we have... Leah pointed out it might be good if we identified some subcategories of horror movies that we could be thinking about. So I flagged a couple. We might want to see them in a creature feature. We might want to see them in a psychological thriller. We might want to see them in a slasher movie. Scary, bloody, nasty. Or a kind of a splat pack movie like Hostel. I don't want to see them in that personally, but... or a demonic possession movie, kind of a supernatural, not the TV show. Am I missing some that we thought were good? Probably.
There's like folk horror. There's...
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Allie.
I just feel like that one's getting a little far down the... That's like almost... You said something that almost was too informed for the level that we're going for. You know what I mean?
Thank you, I think.
And when told that you're being too smart in a conversation, you just have to be pleased with yourself. That usually doesn't happen.
Sure. It'll be my one win of the episode, yeah.
Well, we'll see if we identify any others as we go. But I thought it would be fun very quickly before we talk about the wrestling. I would like you guys to tell me what your favorite horror movie is.
Mine is, and I imprinted on it young, and I can't tell you how many times I've watched it, and even though it's like kind of strange that I've watched it this many times, but it's Final Destination.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
When I watched those movies last year, I think we might have talked about it on the podcast, I was like, what's happening here? I mean, especially once you get into the second movie, you're like, the lore is not adding up, but I must admit they're fun.
They're so fun. And that's my favorite when, like, it's like the earth is trying to kill you.
God's like, you're supposed to be dead, bitch. And
that's also why I love The Happening. Have you ever seen that with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes. Yeah. That one's crazy.
What's the premise of that one?
Well, it's that the trees decide that we have created too many nuclear power plants. And so they decide to start like giving off a kind of pollen that makes you commit suicide.
Huh. It's kind of like the movie, it's M. Night Shyamalan, and it's kind of like climate change, but it's all happening now, immediately, fast. And it's like, yeah, well, it's actually happening slowly, but faster than we want it to. But it is happening. But this is like an intense version of it.
It was very...
That's why the trees decide. When nature comes for you, I watched The Birds in high school, and it's actually very scary, even though it's a silly, silly premise.
Yeah.
It'll make you freaked out whenever you see a big bunch of birds, which happens a lot, actually. Yeah. They hang out together, you know?
Yeah, they're friends. They're buddies. They might have podcasts. Is The Birds your favorite, Anne?
No, it's not. So my favorite, this is a little bit of a weird one probably, but I have to speak my truth. And I think thinking about it, I'm like not a huge horror movie girly because I don't really enjoy the feeling of being scared, but I do like the feeling of being horrified. So I'm in a weird position with horror movies. But I think my favorite actually is the movie Frailty. Have you guys seen that one?
No.
It's like Matthew McConaughey and Bill Paxton. And the premise is basically like there's a single dad with two little boys, and one of them's like 6 or 7, and the other one's like 10 or 11 probably. But it's from like the perspective of the older boy. And basically like the dad comes home one day and he's like, I had a revelation from God and God wants me to start killing demons. And he gave me this pipe to kill them with. And the demons are all disguised as humans. But like when you kill them, like you can see them in their true form. And he just starts killing people and having the kids help him. And the younger kid is like, yeah, I saw them. It was a demon for sure. And the older kid's like, and you watching like in the camera, like he's just killing people. Like there's no demon or anything. So the older kid, like the amount of horror that the older kid goes through being like he's 10, he doesn't
not
have
dissimilar
parent,
to the plot of Supernatural, the CW TV show.
It's true, except like there's not really any demons. It's just he's like, oh, my dad is crazy and I'm trapped here with him. Yeah. It's like messed up, but for some reason I've watched it like a bunch of times. It like really.
I'm gonna have to give it a try. I think that would really scare me.
Yeah, there's like an ending twist that I think is pretty stupid, but like the movie as a whole, like the experience of the movie, it really like gets in the old brain box.
I'm gonna turn out all the lights and I'm gonna scare myself silly. Well, I was trying to figure out what my favorite horror movie is, and I was looking through a big, actually insane list. Like, there was a lot of stuff on it where I was like, that shouldn't even be here, let alone on a list of top 200 or whatever. But it's because Rotten Tomatoes is messed up. But anyway, I actually did land on, I'm not really sure if this is fully true, but the one that I was like, yeah, I still think about it all the time, it is The Witch. And I just love that movie so much. But...
it is good.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
And it gave us, you know, such a good meme.
Great catch line. Yeah.
Wouldst thou live deliciously? Babe, yeah.
I'm begging you to.
I'm dying to live deliciously. Okay. Well, shall we talk about wrestling and then also talk about spooky stuff some more?
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to start out this week by talking about MJF, the man himself, who continues to feud with everybody on the roster. So this week, he and Juice fought for the Dynamite Diamond Ring on Dynamite, and MJF won despite interference from the Guns. Earlier in the night, he had a little backstage interview with Renee where like he was trying to, call and flirt with Adam Cole during the interview, and he did make such a funny face about it. Like, everyone's going to love this. But Roderick Strong and the Kingdom interrupted and were like, we want to fight with you now and be friends with you. MJF shoved Roddy off stage. That segment got interrupted by a little segment from a mystery devil mask man. So he's wearing MJF's devil mask, but we don't think that it's MJF. Okay, so flip back. After his win over Juice, we had the gang gang bang attack. Roddy and the Kingdom came out to help MJF, but they got taken out. The Acclaimed came out. They actually did manage to clear the ring. We had some 90s sitcom sexual harassment ensuing. And then we got promos where the Guns challenge. This is so much stuff. I'm sorry. where the guns challenged MJF for the ROH tag belts. MJF accepted and then counter-challenged them to an eight-man tag, which I didn't really understand because I was like, you don't have any men. Like, I just don't... Like, the whole question now is, like, which men will he find to be in this match with him? It's like, don't ask for this match, in my opinion. Okay, and then as MJF was headed backstage, he ran into Kenny Omega, and they had a little exchange just, like, about their life and their characters and, you know, their relationship to the audience and the possibility of MJF becoming the longest reigning AEW champion. So they are going to fight on Collision this weekend. And then other men also were challenging MJF. My God, where do you want to start?
I don't even know. Like this, there, it really felt like an incredibly MJF heavy episode. Like
it did.
There's just a lot that you had to sort through.
Do you guys want to check in again just on this question of like, so we have all these people who are challenging MJF and they are kind of like the storylines are intersecting in certain ways. Is it working for you? Like, do you feel like we're in like a sexy controlled chaos or is it a little overwhelming?
I think it's a weird situation to me because I'm enjoying a lot of the individual elements of it. Like, I'm enjoying, you know, Roddy to a certain extent. I'm enjoying the Acclaim stuff. I'm enjoying Bullet Club Gold. But, like, when you throw it all together in a stew with Samoa Joe and Wardlow, it's just, like, I don't know what's happening here. And I feel like a lot of the promos, like, between MJF and individual people are, like, just pretty generic feeling. Like, I don't feel very specific about anybody. I don't know. It's not holding together for me very well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the gangbang... The gang bang, intersecting with Roddy and the Acclaimed worked for me. Like, MJF, like, being stuck between the two of them, those two sets in order to fight Jay, that was working for me. Wardlow is too much. Samoa Joe is too much. Kenny, I think that they could have done that at a different time because it's just, it feels kind of drowned. But
yeah.
I mean, I'm not opposed to a little bit of chaos. It's just some of the stuff is interesting, and I would like a little time on it, you know?
Yeah. No, you're right. If it was only that Acclaimed, the Kingdom, Bang Bang Gang, that would have been okay. I would have liked that amount of intersection. The rest of
it, I do think it weirdly like muddies the waters even further to have some of the villains relating to each other, not villains, but you know, the heels relating to each other and aware of each other, but then to still have these outliers like Wardlow and Samoa Joe where it's like, do you guys still go here? It's funny. It's even just listening to it, I keep being like, I don't really know what to say. It's like, I'm not mad or I'm not like, I think you're really messing up, but it is not fully clicking for me. And it feels more like it continues to feel like leftover stew than it does like, oh, I can see that all of these dominoes are eventually going to start clicking each other and lead to a really satisfying ending.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. What do you guys think about MJF winning the Dynamite Diamond Ring again for the fifth year in a row?
I really didn't have opinions on it, except that when I was reading the Bleacher Recap, he was like, I think that the Dynamite Diamond Ring is more important to MJF than even the belt is. And I was thinking about it, like, he was mad that Jay stole the belt from him, but he didn't get, like, insanely furious until Juice started making a mockery of the ring. And I do think there's something to like, that's the prize he won first. That's the one that he's defended the most. And it's helped him win so many times. And it's his, you know, one ring. I do think that like him losing it is going to be a moment where like he loses a part of himself, I think at this point.
Yeah, it like doesn't even feel losable to me. It feels like one of the accessories that comes with his action figure. It's just like it's something that he has in his inventory that gives him power ups. Like I don't know, it's weird to me that we're even having matches.
At a certain point, I do think he has to lose it, and it should be really meaningful for his character yes. and for whoever he loses it to. But it's true that I'm like, well, it didn't happen this year, so I see you next year, 6 years in. Well, I guess we'll figure out where we are then. Do you guys have thoughts about who is wearing the devil mask?
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was Roddy, but like, I think that they've changed this story from when Adam Cole got injured. So now it really can be anybody. I've heard people talking about like it being Jungle Boy, which I would fucking love.
Okay.
That would be the best possible answer.
I feel so stupid. That hadn't even occurred to me. And I'm like obsessed with that.
Wouldn't that be such a fun way for him to return?
That's honestly the first suggestion I've heard that really has thrilled me. Like, oh, that would be great. Yeah. Aside from people suggesting that they could be setting up a Kylo return, except that with Kylo, I wouldn't take it serious. You know what I mean? Like, I would just be like, and then a little gremlin comes out. It would be a comedy payoff. But Jungle Boy would be like really cool.
Yeah, it would be really cool. That'd be very funny. Unfortunately, like the longer Kylo's gone, the more comical he gets in my mind. Where I just like picture like I don't even think he stands up straight. Doesn't he like scurry like a little chimpanzee? Yeah.
He glooks.
He did have that like Gollum, like hunchback.
You guys can't see it, but we're doing the Kylo shimmy. I love that little guy. I hope he's doing good. The last thing he reported seemed like a big step forward. So
yeah, he shocked his arms into working. I was trying to read that post and being like, I don't understand it, but I think I'm happy for you.
I missed it.
He said that one of his arms basically hadn't been working for the whole year after the neck surgery, but then he got one of these experimental electroshock treatments that the wrestlers are, you know, they're getting platelets put in their arms and everything, and then his arm was working good again.
So he said it was like within a couple days he got full range of motion back just from shocking himself. And I was like, well,
that's really good.
Good for you, babe.
And that's kind of fun because he is kind of like a little Frankenstein's monster creature. And so they just got him on the slab on a thunderstormy night. And here we are.
Straight into it. Fixed him right up.
You know what? What I'm picturing a lot of times is Riff Raff.
Yes. You're right. You are completely... Oh, my God. Wow. And that is 100%. I know it's not like a horror movie, but it is. It's like a comedy.
It is a horror movie.
It's...
Rocky Horror.
It's right there
in
the title.
Meatloaf dies.
So true. Meatloaf dies. That is what he's in, for sure. And Adam Cole is either Brad or Janet. Okay, do you guys want to assign a couple of horror archetypes to some of the men we've discussed here?
Is there a movie that you can think of where instead of like a group of people being hunted by one killer, there's one person being hunted by a million killers?
Isn't there one
where a lady gets invited to her fiance's family home?
This is the one I'm
hunted?
Thinking of, but I can't remember the name of it. It's called like,
is it like the Invitation?
Hide and Seek or
Hide and Seek is one. Yeah.
No, I don't think it's called Hide and Seek, or that's not the one that I'm actually thinking of. What's her face is in it. She looks like everybody else. Ready or Not. Okay. Ready or Not is the one that I'm thinking of, which actually I loved. I thought it was so fun. And it has, I will not give any spoilers, but it has an ending that I'm chef's kiss, like obsessed with, was just designed to make me happy. Yes. So, okay. So Leah, you think that's MJF should be running around with everybody chasing him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And this would make him, in the world of Ready or Not, he'd be the final girl.
I do think that he's got final girl energy right now.
Right now.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, Max Caster is like the slut who's going to get killed first.
Absolutely.
I mean,
not he's to be gonna, crude, but Max Caster is going to get taken out like while giving a beach.
Like it's 100%. Yeah.
It's going to be explicit and nasty. Yeah. What are we? So we've got Rocky Horror. We've got Ready or Not. We got some good ones here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think in general, like a little bit of the problem with the storyline is if you're not in a Ready or Not situation, they're kind of all in separate horror movies. You know, like Roddy's doing Misery over there.
Yes.
Like the Acclaimed are definitely doing like a teen slasher movie.
Did you guys ever see, and this is where, like, when we were thinking about what we were going to do for this game, this is where I was like, oh, I know someplace they did this archetypes thing. Did you guys watch Cabin in the Woods?
No, I didn't.
Of course.
Keep meeting too. Is that Joss?
It's Joss. And of course, Joss stays canceled, but we stay watching his stuff.
You can separate art from artists. Don't worry about it.
You can. And we're constantly developing more nuanced takes about it. But it is a very, I haven't seen it for a while. It's a very fun movie. And part of the thing that's going on in there is that there are all these different types of like horror movie things happening, like from different genres. So, we should tuck that away in case we want to watch it together at some point. And, that is a little bit potentially something that's happening.
I think that's like a pretty good, critique though. This like, that's what it should be. It should feel like a really fun, like on purpose mixing genres, but it actually is a little bit of a cacophony of, everyone's in their own movie and not talking to each other.
Yeah, exactly. Warlow's doing Godzilla. He's Godzilla.
Oh, my God. That's right. And you know what? I don't really like Godzilla movies. I haven't seen one for a long time, but just like a bit, like I do like some creature features, but if it's just like a really big monster laying waste, that's not for me. Okay. Did I miss anything you guys really want to talk about with MJF?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, Kenny drew on his eyebrows. He cares about us again.
He did put a little energy into that promo for the first time in months. So
he looked awake.
One of our group chats was having a conversation, I think this morning, about about how wrestling and drag share a similar space, and because of like the relationship between the audience and the performers and what they're up to and gender and that kind of stuff. And it is true that when you said Kenny drew on his eyebrows, I was like, like a beautiful drag queen. You're so right. He put his face on for us.
To come out and say, golly gee whiz.
Jesus Christ. The stuff that comes out of Kenny's mouth is unreal. Like, it's like he is doing an impression of a little corn-fed Midwest Clark Kent, but like warped. Like, kind of like he got like warped like in Lex Luthor's Dunger
or something. Yeah.
Dungeon. No, he was in Lex Luthor's Dunger, and he came out like this, just a little wrong. Okay, we got to move on before I say anything else. Okay, this week, the Hung Bucks fought Isaiah Cassidy and the Hardys on Dynamite. Let's just pause for a second. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason that I should know this happened, you know?
No one gives me reasons for matches anymore.
No, the last time they fought the Hardys, they made like a whole big thing about it where they were like, oh, like we're going to do a brother thing. Who's the best brother? And
they hung afterwards.
Yeah, no. And this time, no, of course not. It was not. It was for the titles, I think. It was for the ROH titles.
It was for the ROH titles, but there was no... we didn't get a promo setting it. I don't know. I've had it.
I mean, that's kind of what it's been like. Ever since they came back from suspension, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's been a full year that like they don't fight matches for any good reason. So it's just life now.
I hate you, Tony. I hate you, Tony. I'm turning on you. I mean, I turned on you before, but
every month we're like, things are about to really kick into gear now. And then they just never do.
But this time they have to, we're approaching full gear. If it doesn't kick into full gear, what are we doing? Nothing.
Such a great
dying.
Point. Such a great point.
Okay. Well, they won the match. They had new matching gear. I loved it.
Yeah. It was cute.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I loved it. I loved it. I was
surprised I wasn't getting more of a reaction from you.
Unfortunately, I was still stuck where I was like, man, what could they be doing at Full Gear that would thrill me? And I got stuck on the last topic and had to catch up. I was shrieking, new gear, as they were coming down the ramps.
You were.
And when I understood that they were wearing headbands that had their faces printed on them, but they had both taken the time to make sure that their own face was lined up perfectly on their forehead, I was like, you are incurable nerds. Like, you are, like, unbelievably absurd.
Yeah, it was very funny. They looked hunky and sexy. Leah, I think you should say what you've said a couple times now. It's a very good point.
That I want to buy them as pajama pants?
Yes.
I need to own them.
Well, you said it, and I was just like, why isn't there a pajama market for wrestling gear? Like, yeah. That is where I want to be with my wrestling stuff alone.
I don't want to wear it out of the house.
It is true that I mostly wear all my wrestling shirts just to sleep in. Yeah. But the way you said it was just I agree.
It wasn't right, but I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it seedily. For once, it wasn't supposed to be seedy. I just meant like
alone,
you don't want to be out
skin to skin with my Orange Cassidy t-shirt.
That's your okay. You're living that way, and don't say it. That's not what I meant. Don't talk to me anymore. I've been fine this whole time. So after the match, everyone got distracted because they started playing a big video of Swerve entering Hangman's house. Hangman did some great face acting, horrified. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be in my house. Mm-hmm. He races off backstage. It's like, there's nothing you can do about it. I just watched the whole video personally, like, probably.
Is he going to run to his house? Like, where were they? I don't even know.
Philadelphia.
Remember.
It's like, oh, buddy, yeah. You're not going to make it. You're going to have to.
Virginia, yeah.
I guess I understand the impulse, but I was like, let's just wait and see how it plays out. So, but he left. And then Swerve was just doing a great little slinky cat cruising around Hangman's house, tearing up his kid's picture off the fridge. He ultimately made his way to the baby's room and cut a little promo to the crib. Mm-hmm. Basically being like, your dad owes me and you're going to pay that debt someday. It was very, I guess this is kind of technically a horror movie. It was very Labyrinth, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. Technically a horror movie.
God, yeah. I would love to see that.
Swerve as David Bowie as the Goblin King Jareth, or whatever. Yeah. Jareth.
Jareth is honestly a little bit worse, I think, but yeah.
Oh my God.
Goblin King is like...
happy when I picture... Swerve going, you remind me of the babe, and then Prince Nana coming out of nowhere to be like, what babe? The babe with the power. What power?
This fits
the power
almost
of voodoo. Voodoo?
This fits almost too well because Hangman would also be a great Jennifer Connelly.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah,
that's really true.
Okay. I'm a little
Hangman
taken aback.
Big final girl energy in general. Oh, I mean,
yeah, boy, for sure. Especially when you take like his various long character arcs of like the times when he hasn't really believed in himself, but then he comes into his own. That's what being a final girl is about. Is it's like at the beginning, you don't think you're gonna be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean like, what's so good about like it being Labyrinth is like you can see Hangman getting angry and accidentally selling John Silver to the Goblin King, and then having to be like, fuck, I gotta go get him.
Although then wasted opportunity to not have the Dark Order be Muppets in that scenario, though. Because it's like the Dark Order should be Muppets. 2.0 absolutely are the like the Guardian with the two-headed guardian. Yeah. They're the two guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the young, I don't think he can sell the Young Bucks. I don't like.
Nobody wants to buy.
Nobody wants to buy. Nobody's buying that. Does he sell?
Imagine Swerve's face confronted with the Young Bucks being like, you want me to take those things back to my court?
He keeps them for 15 minutes and then turns right back around. Thank you.
Are you aware that those are the two most annoying men in the entire world?
just keeps telling him to stop talking. Matt Jackson does not stop talking. You're right. I guess it has to be a little John Silver or something. There's got to be another little, you know, harmless freak who could be a baby.
Brandon?
and baby.
Brandon, yeah.
Boy. Baby, of course, Silver. One of the classic horror movie archetypes. one of those classic characters.
Kind of. Like, yeah. Rosemary's Baby, Ghostbusters 2, there's a baby.
Yeah, so true. And other movies, definitely.
The Omen, you could argue, is sort of a baby. It's a small child.
Yeah. Well, they're similar. One becomes the other. So there's definitely a relationship there.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
And that was a little too smart for this podcast. Dialing back. Leah, you raised the question of whether the implication of this promo was that the baby was alone in the house.
I'm obsessed with it.
I thought that Hangman's wife was peacefully sleeping another room.
I did too. I was assuming his wife was asleep.
If she was, she knocked herself out with Ambien because Prince Nana was not loud.
You know,
he was not quiet.
Leah, you know some of us can sleep through anything. You know that.
One time, Allie was sleeping in my house, and the smoke alarm went off, and I couldn't get it to turn off. And my roommate came out and was like, "Why is the smoke alarm going off?" And I said, "I'd love to know as well." And then we called my landlord, who came down the stairs with a ladder, got up on the ladder, was swearing up a storm, unplugged the smoke alarm, and then we all went back to bed. And the next morning, I said, Allie, "I'm so sorry about the mess last night." And she said, "What are you talking about?"
That is a very concerning story for your safety in general, Allie.
Absolutely it is. Like, I mean, I love that you assumed that I was just in your living room, like, hearing all this and being like, "I can't fucking believe this. Like, I can't get back to sleep." Like, didn't register any of it. So I'm saying some of us can sleep through it, and I guess that is what was going on with Hangman's wife.
Swerve and Prince Nana could be in your house every night, Allie. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, I guess that is technically true. And I will be thinking about it for sure. It's hard to know what to do with that, but I'll definitely think on it.
So now when there's weird noises in my house for any reason, I'm just going to go, Prince Nana. Prince Nana.
Swerve and Prince Nana. Do you guys want to hear a really disturbing fact that I've never been able to forget? So Charles Manson, when they were prepping to do the murders and stuff, what they would do is they'd go on, I think they called them creepy crawler runs, and they'd just break into someone's house and crawl around like gremlins on the floor and then leave without doing anything. But so they were just creepy crawling around people's houses in the middle of the night.
What the hell?
Yeah, it's fucked up.
That is incredibly fucked up.
More disturbing to me than the murder part, almost.
I guess that, yeah, it's not good. I don't want anyone crawling around my house, except Swerve and Prince Nana. I guess now it's okay. If they want to, that's okay, right. But.
Swerve, you're invited anytime.
I loved this segment, and I loved, I at one point was like, I know that a baby can't get killed on AEW television, but I'm really experiencing genuine horror movie dread of God, but what is going to happen?
What is he going to do? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know because he sent the video, Hangman absolutely will know what happened, but can you imagine how creepy it would be if you're Hangman and you get up in the morning and you go to wake up your baby and you come into the room and the baby is sleeping under a blanket of Swerve's t-shirt, so you're he was there.
That's not cool.
No,
it's bad behavior.
It's a little Godfather finding the horses in the bed.
Yeah.
Not a horror movie, but it works.
Well, no way. I guess that's my specialty in this game, is that I enthusiastically agree to the theme and then I keep bringing up things that aren't.
It's adjacent. Horrifying things do happen. Do we have any other thoughts about Hungbucks and Swerve? And I think this question might be too big for us right now. What's going on with Hungbucks? Or about the horror movie archetypes that you see at play here?
Well, we just have to say that this idea was inspired by one of our group chats in which someone very correctly said that in a horror movie, Matt Jackson would die very early. And that is that is correct.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So he wouldn't be the first one to die. He wouldn't be like, you know, first 10 minutes, but he'd die after you figure out. Yeah, the first hour minutes. For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you find out like what the deal with the killer is. Like you realize that it's intentional and that's the next one after that is going to be.
It's in the middle of him, like, so bitchily being like, this is totally fucked up. And then he's out. It's just like, you're not wrong, buddy. And you wouldn't have liked the rest of this, so it's probably good you went when you did. Matt Jackson in any, like, high school. Like, Matt Jackson in Scream.
Oh, my God.
That would be giving.
Yeah, he might... In Scream, he might be the one that gets killed before the credits, you know.
I don't know if he could Barrymore. Be the. I don't know if because Drew Barrymore was so, like, she really brought a certain like naivety to that role that was true. That I don't know if it would be Matt Jackson, but I think there are some versions that they do in later ones where it could be Matt Jackson. Love Scream.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts, or should we move on?
I think that's it.
Okay. Orange Cassidy fought John Silver at some point this weekend. There seems to have been a lot of wrestling, and I missed all of it. So do you guys have anything you want to say about that right up front? Or?
It was just really fun. It was a very old school comedy, Orange Cassidy. I felt very nostalgic watching it. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is so much fun. I miss having fun.
I give Battle of the Belts shit because it's fucking stupid that it's always on on a weekend after an episode and no one ever loses a belt. But for some reason, this episode of Battle of the Belts was really fun. And this match was great.
It might have been like a little in contrast to Collision, which mostly sucked ass. Yeah. But yeah, there was a lot of like storylines and I had a great time.
So what happened this weekend? They did 2 hours of Collision and then 1 hour of Battle of the Belts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It was. I don't even know where I was. I think I was at something, but that's too much. 3 hours? I know that's what like Raw does or whatever, but
I don't remember why I watched all 3 hours. I was just in like a really cozy mood.
Well, you were like,
it was one of those things where I turned it on at 8 and I was like, well, the remote's over there now.
Weren't you having like the sleepiest weekend of all time?
Yes.
So maybe that's why. You kind of went into a little wrestling coma there.
Yeah, I did.
And I let it wash like over you.
Playing video games at the same time and giving it.
That's similar to a wrestling coma, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then on Dynamite this week, Orange Cassidy and Okada tagged against Claudio and Bryan Danielson on Dynamite. I just said that was on Dynamite. And that was a good match, and that was the main event. And at the end of it, they were doing the thing where they're like, we can stick with this as long as we need to. So they had a slight overrun, but nothing really happened in the overrun. Like, Best Friends, and was Rocky there?
No.
I don't think so.
I guess I'm just imagining more men. I didn't
see him, but honestly... You were noticing more things, so maybe you're right. Actually, I shouldn't contradict you.
Oh, he's noticing more things.
Yeah,
I doubt
like,
it. I said
you were like,
Dustin's stuff.
Back there.
I did see Dustin. That was the one thing I managed to do last night. I caught sight of Dustin.
Yeah, maybe Rocky could have been there. I don't know.
Anyone could have been there. There were best friends and best friends adjacent people there in BCC. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Hook came out?
Yeah. I know for sure. I know for a fact that
he isn't in this faction.
Ellie. Be real.
He's been there from the beginning.
He's always been there.
It is a little bit like, who keeps bringing their younger brother along? This isn't cool, guys.
Okay, well, they all came out, and then it ended, and I think there was some talk about, like Bryan Danielson was selling some kind of face injury? I don't know. And people
were... It was
were,
the orange punch he really
sold. Oh, he was selling it. Because people were... Maybe it was like Trevor Dame who was like, it seemed like something really did get called off at the end there. And I was like, I don't know, I think Bryan Danielson just loves
He loves lie. Selling injuries.
He
yeah.
loves to lie.
Remember when he just fell between the ramp and and just like sold an injury like crazy, even though he was just a dumb baby who fell? Yes. I got his leg stuck.
nothing will ever be funnier than to me than the scrum from the last pay-per-view where he stood up and then fell off the thing. And then he was like, he comes back and he grabs the microphone. He's like, wouldn't it have been so funny if I managed to get through that match without being injured, but then broke my leg at the scrum? And Tony was next to him looking like he disassociated and was like
literally clutching his pearls. Like, no, it would like, not be.
No, Brian Danielson, that would not have been funny.
And Brian Danielson said, but what if it was really funny though, actually? I still, well, we can't get into it. Okay. So this match happened and it was fun and it was fine. And Dustin's foot is injured. And that is most of what I'm thinking about. Like, I don't really know when or how that happened. And his foot is in a boot and I don't know how long that'll be happening. And
remember how Trent like puts his x-rays and stuff up on Instagram and yeah. Dustin's like, yeah, you, I wouldn't, if I wasn't wearing a boot, you'd never know I was injured.
No.
Hate him.
Dustin and OC, same deal, where they're like, absolutely will never tell you a single fucking thing.
He had to have injured it on his own time because the last
because he's not wrestling.
The last thing he did, he was seconding Greg when Greg fought Jay Lethal, and he didn't have a boot then, and he didn't do an Adam Cole and jump off a ramp. So he had to have done it on his own damn time because he isn't.
Maybe he pulled a Brody King and like kicked something because of something the Phillies did or something who are their basketball boys?
Sixers.
Yeah. The Sixers, the 76ers. Yeah, could have been because of that. So he kicked something.
I think the Phillies had a big loss, if I understand.
They did, but the boot was on before that.
Yeah, that's right.
We're watching you, buddy, okay? We got eyes on you.
I don't know why he doesn't tell us anything. We're very normal about it.
If he told us, we wouldn't have to act this
way. That's true.
I know. If he would just get on Twitch 2 or 3 days a week and just tell us what's going on with him, I would
be much
calmer.
While he's laid up with the boot, he's got time to do it. Like, come on.
Now, what kind of horror movie would you like to see Best Friends in? And BCC. I don't know what movie they're in together, but let's explore the space.
They're in the Saw movies and they're Saw. They're like putting people in a dungeon and they're like cutting off their fingers one by one. And if the guy down there is tough enough, he can join them.
It's funny because I'm like, that is right. But also, Brian Danielson, if other people were getting to do Saw challenges and he wasn't, I think he would be like, true. I got to get me in there, coach. Get me fucking in there. Too,
as like a plant. And the guy yeah. down there would be like, if we work together, we can get out. He's like, yeah, totally. And then keeps undermining him.
I was thinking that the Okada OC Claudio Brian movie would be so funny if they were like really bitter rivals and then started getting beset by a killer, because like you could do the thing where like nobody trusts each other and it's unclear. There's like things happen that make it seem like the other two had done it turns out no.
And there's actually a few X-Files episodes where like they go to like a research station in the South Pole, and like then they're getting possessed by like a worm from the ice that like can get in your neck and stuff. But then everybody's like, they're the person who's possessed by the creature is like everybody's suspicious of each other, thinking
that's
they're the one who's possessed.
It's the thing. Yes.
They've done the thing several times. Yeah, I haven't seen the thing, but
The thing is great. So good. I really do recommend it. I would love to watch actually any combination of these men in the thing. I think they would be extremely fun.
In a foursome, I think OC might die. But if Best Friends are there, I think Best Friends and OC survive to the end, and you get a really good moment where the three of them emerge from the haunted house covered in dust and blood and hanging on each other, and then it's like credits roll.
They could like a Goosebumps style ending where it's like they make it out alive, but then you see one weird little thing that's like, or did they?
Yeah.
I also, two things I want to say. One is that I think that Yuta has final girl energy. And I think that he could make it out in like a kind of like standard medium normal horror movie. And also that actually the horror movie, the horror franchise, it's not that OC and Best Friend should be in is Scooby-Doo.
Rut-row.
It was Jeff Jarrett the whole time.
Don't you think it's like Chris Jericho should be the one? I mean, I know you said Jeff Jarrett, but I jumped to Chris Jericho under the sheet in the, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. No, I agree. Chris Jericho would also do a really good job of like, when Dustin pulls the mask off and says it, Chris Jericho would be like, yes, and you were supposed to fall for it.
And I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for you little kids.
For some reason, I really wanted to see Best Friends in a folk horror movie. Like, I want them to go to a remote Swedish village and just have weird things happening around
You want
them.
Midsummer for Best mm-hmm. Friends?
Yeah, that's, I don't know why. I just think it'd be funny.
That's hurtful to them.
They get out of it, you know, they'd solve it.
Out of Midsummer? Bitch, they would not. They absolutely would not. They would eat pubic hair pie and die. It would all be over for them. Okay, shall we move on to talking about a string of old men?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So many old men in this episode.
So Sting came out on Dynamite and gave another little retirement speech with Darby really dressed up behind him. I actually don't really understand why he was as dressed up as he was, to be honest.
He was really well dressed. Yeah. It was a little bit like, I'm going to my dad's workplace and like I have to.
Yeah, I mean, his vibe was like Sting is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame tonight. Mm. And
yeah.
It was like, I think it's just his second like retirement speech, but okay. I guess it was for Ric Flair, who we'll get to in a minute. So Tony had said that he got Sting a present that no one had ever gotten before. And the present was Ric Flair, who I guess was Sting's old tag partner? Is that what's happening there? We don't know.
I don't think his tag partner.
No, because like,
really? I think it was...
We're going to talk about it later, but like when he was talking to Edge, like he was kind of like, I fought Ric Flair. He's a bad guy. So I like,
well, you know, but then it's like when he came out, he liked him. So he liked his present so much. So I guess yeah,
Wikipedia says it's his long-term rival, Ric Flair, but we shouldn't even speculate. You know, we don't know. We're so dumb.
Well, okay. I hope he enjoys owning Ric Flair now.
Wrestling is normal and fine.
Tony anyway, bought him for him.
Ric Flair said that he's gonna ride the wagon with us until March, so I don't think any of us have anything to say about that.
I just feel like Sting should be the focus of Sting's retirement and not Ric Flair, but
you know, I would say the same, but I guess if Sting's happy, then I wouldn't even say I'm happy. I just won't get into it. So we had some back and forth. Christian came out and interrupted with some dead dad jokes, and then he, Nick Wayne, and Luchasaurus challenged Darby and Sting to trios at Full Gear. Is that right? Oh, yeah, you put it here. Yeah, that is right. And we don't know who Darby and Sting are going to fight with, but they did say, like, we'll find someone. And I was like, great, it can't be Ric Flair. Like, that man is...
He already did his last match. We can't be doing this every year.
He did his last match, and he looks so teetery. Like,
it wasn't a good situation.
We really have to just let men go gently into that good night sometimes. They can't always rage against the dying of the light.
Who would be the funniest person to put with Darby and Sting at this point? Like,
put Hook over there. Hook.
He gets around.
Yeah. Well, Danhausen's supposed to come back, isn't he?
Yeah.
Veto.
The face paint boys.
That was what I was thinking.
I know. I just don't want it. No. I don't know. I don't know who else goes here. I can't think of anyone else right now. And then later in the show, Darby and Sting cornered Edge to be like, I think that they were just like, stop being a lovesick mark for Christian. Like, sometimes when you love a man, you actually just have to fight him. And don't be a pussy and love him. Just fight him. And they really both got up in his face. And I was like, wow, this is really personal for you guys for some reason.
when Darby,
Darby and Ethan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So sometimes a man just chooses normalcy, and later you just have to fight him about it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And Darby was making me lose it because he was like, do you think I want to fight Nick Wayne? Do you think I liked breaking his tooth off? No, I'd love to hug him. I'd love to squeeze his little face. I'd like to kiss him on his forehead, but I can't. I have to fight him. And that's what I'm doing now.
Have a tender hug like Okada and OC just cradle each other in the middle of the ring. And,
yeah. My God. What horror movie can we put these men in? What type of horror movie?
I feel like Darby and Sting are in some kind of ghosty kind of movie, you know, like The Others or, you know, mm-hmm. The Shining or...
You know. Oh, The Shining. They could also be... You could do some kind of demonic possession thing here because you have Nick Wayne acting really out of character. Just a little boy. Darby could be a final girl. It just depends on the movie. You know, in like an Alien kind of movie, Darby could be a final girl.
Yeah, I could say that. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Not in some, he would be like too tough right off the bat to make it, but.
Yeah. The goth kids don't make it to the end in a high school one, but yeah, in an Alien.
I think he'd make it to the end in the Faculty. He'd be, but there were a lot of final girls in the Faculty. Everyone made it.
I think in a movie where Darby's the main character, he's the final girl, Sting definitely doesn't make it, but when he dies, you want to cry your face off.
Absolutely.
And he dies like in Darby's arms.
Himself for Darby.
Yeah.
Or like he does a thing where he's like, I'll hold them off. You run.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, and that kind of a...
They could be in a zombie thing.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah.
When the second you say hold them, I'll hold them off. It's like okay, yeah. So now it's zombies. But I am now just really stuck on. I'm like, oh, but Darby is Stokely from the Faculty. So jot that down. Anything else you want to say about Sting Darby at all?
Mm-mm.
No. Don't you feel like we're a little sleepy tonight?
Oh, no, we are sleepy girls.
That's okay. We're allowed to be.
I think this episode's going okay.
I hope so. Maybe edit that out.
I think the middle of the episode should have a little, like, is this going okay? Do you guys think this is going okay?
Kind of reassurance. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, sometimes it's just like, I just don't know why I'm so low energy right now. But I do just feel like... Lucy.
I know. And I worry that sometimes it's like, it sounds like we're not like having fun. We're having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm having
a great time, but it's a sleepy great time.
It's been a week. I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting sold, so that's why.
You and Ric Flair.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's good that we have something to talk about if we ever run into each other again. Ric Flair.
I think we should just leave that unexplained.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we'll leave. I won't get into it. Let's quickly check in on... So this episode was really, especially the first half, was really old man heavy. And you know we like the old man. Of course we do. And we think that it's very... Age. It's important to have the senior dog sanctuary that Tony is running. But it was very funny that, so they've showed us, Ric Flair has been out there talking, and he is like on the verge of death, as far as I can tell.
Like literally 80 years old, yeah.
Yeah, and then we cut to this little backstage interview between Jericho and Renee, where Jericho got bodied by Hobbs last week, so he's kind of talking about like how bad that beating was. And Renee is basically like, Chris, do you think that you're too old to keep wrestling? Like, should you keep wrestling or should you give up and die? And Chris is like, he's like, you know, at my age, you might think I should give up and die. But on the other hand, maybe I should keep wrestling. I don't know why it was so funny to me. I was just like, what is happening here?
It was so funny. Something about the like real talk, Chris.
I know. It's like, let's get down to brass tacks. Like, do you still... have it? And Chris Jericho was like, I might not, but on the other hand, what if I do? And so he said that he is going to bring a really huge man who is an old friend of his to come, I guess, get revenge on Will Hobbs. The internet, I believe, some places have been speculating that it's Paul White Big Show because they have some history that I don't understand, but everyone was quoting a song about it. So...
A a song. I don't think I saw that.
I saw quite a few of the song. And I don't think that that should happen personally.
No.
I didn't see the song, but I did see multiple times everybody was calling him Tall Paul, which unfortunately does make me laugh. But do you remember that Paul White wrestled at All Out 21 and that was the bathroom match?
I really appreciated that we had that bathroom match. I know. Sometimes you don't have one.
Wasn't long enough to get to the bathroom and back was the only problem with
It's true. I missed the very beginning of the cage match, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was it was quick. I don't feel like Big Show really has it anymore. Like, is it safe for him? I don't think we need it.
He is very big, though.
He is huge. I do like seeing...
At the end of the day, I don't think any of us would deny that he's very big. To me, the role that Big Show should play in wrestling is... I think it was at that All Out at the Fan Fest that he was at the live D&D game wearing a little bucket hat and like a crossbody bag. And I was like, that's what I like to see.
And sitting in a folding chair.
Sitting in a folding chair talking about goblins and orcs and gremlins. Oh my. That's what I want to see out of you, Paul White.
Yeah.
When I see Paul White, I'm like, it stops being about wrestling for me, and it just starts being about like a sideshow at a circus.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. Like when they bring like Paul White or Big Bill also out there, there's a certain point where I'm like, I'm just marveling at them. Like, I'm just like wanting to see some feats of strength, you know?
Or not even. You don't even grotesque. Have to be that strong. You really just have to demonstrate your physique. What kind of movie should we put little Chris Jericho in?
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like Chris Jericho, I could kind of see him in like a sci-fi horror movie. Like, I don't know.
I think I would like him in like a Shining thing where you think it's going to be one thing, but then it turns out that actually he is the scary thing a lot.
He's the bad guy all along for sure. Yeah. Whatever's happening.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chris Jericho has a little, he's not Victor Frankenstein, but you know, it's like he would be in a movie like making a man out of body parts and being the whole time just being like, I've done nothing wrong. I'm doing an amazing job.
So he makes Paul White and Paul White is like, Father, what is my purpose?
To be large. Just to be the ultimate big boy. It's very funny to think about, like, Chris Jericho makes him on the slab because he's like, I need the biggest boy in the world to clobber Will Hobbs for me. And then Paul White comes to life and is just like, I would love to be gentle. I would love to just wander through nature and pick a flower. Yeah. And
be nice to children.
Chris Jericho says, no, I made you to clobber.
I want you to do violence. And he says, I like D&D. I've heard about D&D.
Did you know Chris Jericho's concept for his Painmaker character is that he's like a serial killer in space? And he's like working on a comic, or maybe already had it, and like it's gonna pitch it as a series of movies. Like,
I think Chris Jericho could be in like this isn't a horror movie, I don't think, but like The Fifth Element. Like, I can see him in that kind of.
Exactly. Oof.
Well, I love watching what he does, but should he just lie down and die?
I think no. I think Jericho should stick around.
Let him stay.
There's so many old men on this show. We can't single out Chris Jericho. Imagine if Tony's like, Chris, we're gonna do a forced retirement. And it's like, me of all the people, of all the old men on this goddamn show, like
the 10th oldest man on that show.
I do think that we're having somehow this has been the oldest year of AEW. Yeah, like it's really, just the men. And it's not that I don't like to see them. I do often, many of them, but. Let's just not lose sight of the fact that that youths should be wrestling too.
And in fact, out there. Get a Wheeler Ute out there.
Even middle-aged men, like the young bucks.
37-year-olds you can get out there. Could
be wrestling,
you know?
A little more.
Do you guys remember when we were, like, in high school, early college, people kept telling us that, like, the boomers were going to all retire and then the workforce was going to, like, change and there would be tons of jobs for us.
Yeah.
But then the economy kept crashing and now the boomers can't afford to retire. No. And so now there's just, like, 80-year-olds still holding their jobs. I wonder if that's what's happening in wrestling right now, where, like, you're just like, I'd love to main event a pay-per-view, but it's just old
Jericho
men.
Won't retire. Yeah.
Jericho won't. And to be clear, I want us to be clear about it. Chris Jericho shouldn't retire.
No,
okay.
He shouldn't.
Ric Flair maybe should get off the wagon that he's going to be on till March, but yeah, Sting left. Shouldn't retire.
No,
Sting should stay with
around.
Us forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. RVD, I don't need to see that often, you know?
I'm not mad at him, but...
it's just not additive for me. I'm not mad. It's
not for
just
me.
Like... Mm.
It's kind of funny whenever he wrestles and all of the, you know, like... Twitter people are like, so smooth. He hasn't lost a step. It's crazy to watch. And I'm like, I think it is true, but I think you're overestimating how much some of us are watching his smooth moves. You know?
Yeah.
And no offense to that man. And I hope he's having fun in a tag team with Hook for some reason. They were out at the end of their match. So Hook did something with his hair. Let's touch on that first.
Oh my God. What happened?
Did he stop using product? It was so large.
It was so floppy. It was Rooney hair. It was, you know, the Princess Diaries movie. I think it is the lead singer from Rooney. It was like exactly that look.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. And he kept like brushing it out of his face in a very like mid-2000s way. And I was just like... Hook, this is the first time you're touching on something that I might be interested in.
Maybe that's why he did it, Leah.
Yeah. He said, oh, the show's full of old men? Well, I'll be going for the old women.
I'm on that
He's
team
like, I
beat.
Know what you imprinted on.
That's how I'm going to get over. I'm going to appeal to the over 30s.
women 35 to 49, we're up this week, I think. So, yeah.
Wow. I have to say that actually, for me, it was not Hook's best look. His face just wasn't there. I just couldn't see him. I felt the oldest I ever had, being like, get those bangs
real
out
grandma.
Of your face.
You've got such so a pretty face. Just...
Oh my God. Wow. It really happens to everyone eventually. Because when I was in high school, I had the curtain bangs, you know? Mm. And my mom did used to say it to me. Get those out of your face.
There's two ways to be an old woman. There's the way that you're like, wow, you're really bringing NSYNC back to me. And then there's, you'd have such a pretty face if your bangs were out of it.
Yeah. Well, I think we all take turns being both, I think. I wasn't going to say anything interesting about that, so let's leave that there. And let's just check in on the women's division really quick. Does anyone want to tell me a little bit about this Willow-Chris match? Because I didn't see it.
I loved it. Willow came down the ramp. She wasn't like storming down the ramp again, but she didn't look like very bouncy. She looked subdued, and I was tense the entire match because I was like, what is she going to do? There was a moment where she choked Chris, and I was like, oh, is this happening? But then, she, you know, like it just was, I was just tense the whole time being like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Ooh. What's going to happen? But then Chris did end up pinning her and held out a hand of friendship, and Willow looked at it, conflicted. Sky Blue shows up, goes storming down the ramp, shoves Willow away, says no. Do not. We are bad girls now. And Willow looks at her, and she looks at Chris, and then she looks at Sky Blue, and then she looks at Chris, and then she takes Chris's hands. So
oh
she's
God.
Fighting the mist.
You really bit into that. She takes Chris's hand. Amen, sister. Tell me more.
So, I mean, she's fighting off the mist. I really need Julia to come back from her honeymoon and... figure out like how this is gonna work. Like I need, because Sky Blue can't do it alone. We really need her in there.
No,
she needs
but I am way more interested in Sky Blue than I ever have been. For
sure.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, talk about demonic possession, right? Like they are doing a horror movie in front of us, and it is good.
Yeah, Well, I was just thinking that they are all of the mist stuff. Everyone who gets dragged into the Black Mist storyline. Allie, okay, we got it. We got it. There is like a little subgenre of horror movies that's like group of sporty and active friends go to do a sporty active activity for the weekend and die horribly because of mystical reasons. So it's like The Ritual, The Descent. Like, they're not really The Descent as much because that there's like a psychological component. Or this would be like Fall too, our favorite film.
Fall.
But that one also has a... But like The Ritual is a good one. Or even if you got into Blair Witch territory, but oh, I can really see, like, it's just a group of like normal people who are like, we're going to go have fun in the woods and we're going to climb a cliff and it's going to be great. And then 2 days later, everyone's dead.
Yeah. It's true.
It's beautiful.
Any other thoughts about this situation or about the missed storyline progression or about House of Black? I heard Malachi Black came to work.
Three times in the same show? Yes.
That's too many times.
That's too many times. Especially because he has to do the whole stupid thing where the lights go out and it's out for long enough until he can make it in the ring and get into position. So it like takes a really long time.
I was so mad. It's like The Mist is going better without you. Like, keep your energy away from that. Let Julia run this.
You know, he wasn't wearing the eye makeup though. So maybe he did give that to Julia.
Good.
Then what is he? Though it's, I mean, it's like, I think
he's
it's
so
right.
Spooky.
It's right for him to give it away, but it's like, this man has never taught me a single thing about his character, actually. Yeah. And I think he really thinks he has. I know he loves his own lore, but like, I don't know anything about you, buddy.
I know.
It's bad.
Whatever.
Buddy was still wearing Brody was wearing the cast. Who was the one who punched? Was it
Brody?
Brody punched the wall.
Was Buddy there?
I think he was. I think all three of them were there.
Wow.
Because I was a little surprised. Remember. Maybe not, though. I don't know.
I can't get rid of those.
I just remember the cast.
Yeah. Because he punched the wall.
Get him out of here. Okay. And then Sheeta fought Ruby on Dynamite and won. And afterwards, Timeless Tony came out. And they did a little thing where it's like she came out, but the shots of her coming out were in black and white.
Yeah.
And which I thought was quite fun. I'm like, they've really pushed themselves creatively with this. I know some people don't like it, but I think it's fun.
Yeah.
And Sheeta, I think that we all agreed the one noteworthy thing about this was just that Sheeta did this great baffled face of like, what the fuck is happening right now about
Sheeta, it? Sheeta does great face acting. Like, they need to be taking more advantage of that because I feel like the only time I liked The Outcast, also she was making like faces that were very funny. So lean in.
I think that Sheeta and Britt should star in a horror movie where they're like staying in like some kind of like haunted mansion or something, and where they're like, it'll give ample time for Sheeta to make that face, and it'll be like things like one of them goes into a room and the door slams behind it, and then Timeless Tony like shows up out of the curtains, like, and then disappears again, and Sheeta's like, I think there was a girl back there.
I like that you're prioritizing that Sheeta has ample time to make that face, which is a great priority.
This is not exactly that, but it did make me think, is Timeless Tony like giving a little bit of Nicole Kidman and the others? Maybe so. I would love to. I see you looking at me, Leah. Like, you maybe.
Oh,
don't.
I just never saw that movie.
Yeah, so. No, I know. And I was going to say, I want to tell you a little about the plot, but I actually can't really. I recently listened to a podcast episode where they took, and I've seen the movie, where they took me through the whole plot of the movie again, and I still can't really recreate it. I think it takes place during the Spanish Civil War, maybe.
It's a random war.
It's a really random war. They're on like
when
an island.
When I
want
to sum it up, I just want to like tell the twist at the end, which is not a helpful way to summarize.
Well, and I actually, we won't say it, but I actually don't even really remember. I always get confused about the exact twist. So,
once we're off the air, we can talk about it.
Yeah, we can talk about it. Great. And then, Leah, you can cut this later if you decide to for time. or for something that you might be about to say. But Leah said in her notes this week that she is withdrawing her consent for Miro to do his... to tell his story because she thinks the story might be really gross. And so I just want her to tell me about it.
Okay. So you know that his wife, CJ, is her Lana. AW name, showed up.
Oh, CJ. Okay.
And CJ Perry. He wanted to be her his manager, and he ran away from her, right?
Yeah.
So he's been... she's been doing where she's been scouting other men, and he follows her around really disapproving. So she picked Action Andretti, and he came out of nowhere and like flipped out about that and challenged Action Andretti to a match. But then at the end,
Miro challenged Action Andretti.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing is that CJ is aroused by Miro being possessive of her. Like, the more Miro reacts,
the
more CJ is like, and it's not just like, oh, I'm happy, I'm proud. Like, you can see her getting hot for this, right? Okay.
They are clearly sexual freaks. Like, yeah, anything they put on Instagram or on screen, I'm like, who?
They are role-playing something, and it has nothing to do with wrestling and or kayfabe or anything. This is a sex game that is spilling over. So he fights Action Andretti, and then at the end, he beats Action, but he looks at him kind of appraisingly. And the vibe is a little bit like, yes, I see what my wife liked about you. Yes, maybe we will take you back to the bedroom. And the thing is that, like, I know in my heart what would happen is that he would let Action Andretti fuck her while he sat in a chair 6 inches away and maybe ran his feet. I'm going to cut all this.
Please leave it in now that you've said it.
I know. Or just bleep it. Just 1 to 2 full minutes of bleeping.
The whole thing, yeah.
What's going on is not...
It's not okay, is what I'm getting.
No, they need to take this. I mean, like, I'm kink shaming them. I know. I'm sorry. Like, I know.
No, okay.
It's appropriate because when your sexual relationship becomes sanctioned by the state, you got to take it out of the public eye. That's the charge. I don't want to hear anything about any married person's sex life or anything.
I thought you meant that they're... I don't know what I thought you meant. I think that we as the audience are clearly playing a role in this sexual experience.
Yeah.
And not to sound like a prude, but I do not consent. No. Isn't there someone you forgot to ask? You can't make me party to this. I don't kink shame, but I will say you can't make me be involved.
Not for me.
Because you're getting off on my...
I know that they
my
are.
My flabbergasting the thing,
like, face. I can't... The energy of that match... It was not right. It was. Mm. I know that they fucked about it later. And I withdraw my consent. I withdraw it.
We never gave it. We don't have to withdraw it.
Unfortunately,
you,
I did.
Oh, you did.
She
That's
did say
right.
that Miro should tell the story. Yeah.
I've just got the Hamilton part in my head. The who lives, who dies, who tells your story. Oh my God.
Lord. Wow.
Okay, well, I don't know what kind of there's some really horny horror movies that they could be in, but there was one with Ana de Armas recently that everyone said was really bad, but actually it was pretty good. I thought there were a lot of snails in it. I think it's that one that she was in with Ben Affleck. I was kind of shocked by how good it was, but it was really more of a psychological thriller. It wasn't a horror movie. It was called like Snail Life or something.
Or like Snail Life.
Something like that.
The Secret Life of Snails.
It's called like Snail Time or get your snail on or Slime Time, something like that. So
I have to know what it's really called.
I think they're in like some kind of like pulp horror where it's like every scene is just a excuse to have like the killer like rip off CJ's shirt or something.
I have I have seen some of her outfits, and I was a little, and I don't want to sound, I'm not a prudy slut shamer, but it is a little bit like, wow, this is taking me back in time. We haven't been doing this much recently, but I'm seeing you like in just like a full oversized blazer and boobs. cut this if it sounds bad. You know what I mean?
We'll see how much of this entire episode makes it in.
Yeah, we might not be releasing anything this week. Did I miss anything that any of you were just dying to talk about?
I don't think so.
The snail movie is actually called Deep Water.
That's really similar to some of the stuff I said, I think. Snail Time, Deep Water. Everyone said it was going to be really bad, but it was okay. It was kind of fine.
Ben Affleck is a good actor.
I know you do feel that way. Yeah, I know that about you.
And that's something I'm going through.
Yeah. Well, we're all going through stuff, aren't we, my friends? It's been a pleasure to be here with you. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email, tunneltalkpod@gmail.com, on Tumblr, Tunnel Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe us. Subscribe us. Please rate, review, and subscribe. This is the sleepiest day of all time. Please just rate us, review us, subscribe to us if you want to. And you can do that anywhere, pretty much. And then if you want to, come back next week.